everybody. Nice. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
Did you guys have a hard time remembering that?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, where are we?
Cool. And this is our replacement man in the booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man with the original. He was the original Booth.
I was the original, not Booth Man.
Yes. For those of you who are new to the show, we have a resident supervillain, Booth Man. Sadly, he's out destroying the city or something.
Yeah, he's got a lot of plans.
So we have the original flavor Booth Man is back.
This Booth Man's actually a little frightening. I don't know if you noticed, the other Booth Man is not scary at all. Right?
Yeah.
Oh. One dissenter in the audience. We don't know where he is, so if you've heard him, we'll catch you.
Sweet. Not much comic book news this week, guys.
Nah,
what?
Boring.
Sort of like a light comic book.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I was checking message boards. I was checking blogs and things.
Dude, that's ridiculous,
man.
Saturday was like the greatest day ever.
Oh, yeah. It was in the park.
Yeah, we were in the park together.
And we kept calling you and be like, this is the best Saturday ever, Pete. You got to come out to the park.
We just
and all day long.
We
were like, no, I got to do stuff.
Yeah, I had a lot of stuff to do on Saturday because
there was
a lot going on.
It was more expensive comic book day.
It was free comic book day.
Oh, yeah, it's the opposite.
Right. Yeah, I missed that.
Oh, well, you guys missed out.
Did you guys miss Free Comic Book Day, or did you go to Free Comic Book Day?
Free Comic Book Day!
Yeah! Was that the least confusing way I could have asked that, or the most confusing?
Nicely done.
I'm still confused.
Anyway, we're going to talk more about this big weekend in comics, but first, I'm very excited about the guests we have here tonight. They come from divergent worlds of comic books, some online, some in print, some... something else.
Some in their own brain.
Yeah.
Step right up.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guests for tonight are Matt Lux and the Timoney Brothers. Yeah!
Hey.
Welcome.
Hello.
Good day.
Hello.
Hello. If you go to slideshow view show, you'll get that back.
Oh, fantastic.
Thanks. New Booth Man, guys.
Old Booth.
Before it was just cue cards. You've got a cue card, people would wave them. Now it's more technological.
That's the guest entrance music.
There we go.
We're good.
It's going to be a fun ride.
I apologize.
Hey, no need.
Okay. Where's the re-enter?
It's really important to hit
that.
Can
we take
that
again?
No, you guys fucked that up anyway. So, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I'm very excited to have you here. Why don't we start with you? Let's go down the line a little bit. Talk about how you guys got into comics.
Sure. Like, professionally or got into comics?
That's a good question. Let's say professionally.
Okay. I went to School of Visual Arts for illustration, and if anyone knows anything about that school, is they actually have our cartooning major also.
Sweet.
And I took some cartooning classes. When I graduated, I realized I think I wanted to do cartoons instead of illustration, and I just kind of did minis for a while until I kind of stumbled in with Oni Press, and I did my first book with them, F-Stop. I was the illustrator for that. The writer was Anthony Johnston. He's the guy who does Wastelands right now, which has been getting a lot of buzz and stuff.
Yeah.
And then once I finished that, I guess they really liked that I got it done on time, relatively, which is pretty rare for Oni Press, if you know anything about them. So they asked me, what do you want to do next? And I pitched them one of my own ideas, which was side-scrollers, which came out, I guess, like in 2006. And that was just kind of a one-shot, kind of silly suburban comedy, you know, suburban slacker comedy. And when I finished that, I started my next one, which comes out tomorrow, which is Saltwater Taffy.
Yeah. I mean, I've already read it. For those who haven't, what's the deal with Saltwater Taffy? It's a little bit of a younger reader's book, right?
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting. It's an all-ages book. It kind of stemmed from just an idea. It wasn't really set as an all-ages at first, but I kind of quickly kind of read that it had to be one.
You read that?
Yeah.
Someone told you.
I traveled into the future and read it when I had already finished it.
Yo, forget cartooning, man. It's a time machine. Use it for cartooning.
That's my day job. That's my time traveling is my day job. The idea is actually an interesting one. I finished side-scrollers, and I was kind of thinking about what I wanted to do next. And I had a short story idea that was an idea I had a while back when I like worked in a really crappy retail job.
We've all been there.
Pete works at Gap Kids.
It's out, man.
As a clothes tester.
Yeah, he tries out. Too big.
Yeah. Too big. I keep running into that problem. It's weird.
Yeah.
That they're too big?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on.
It's the onion.
So you had a time machine.
Basically, if you remember the state quarters came out, they came out about like 5 years ago, and we were just working at a cashier, interested in what the next ones were, and we're just like saying, what do you think the one for Maine will be? And I just kind of off the top of my head, like, I think it's going to be an old fisherman fighting a giant lobster with a harpoon. And it was just visual made me really laugh, and it just kind of stuck with me for like a week or two. I was just giggling to myself at that. And I just kind of spun an idea off. I'm like, that's kind of a fun visual. Like, what if I can kind of make that into a short story? And I thought, well, it'd be kind of a fun idea for like this old fisherman to be like telling this to a bunch of kids, like to just like this old sea yarn. And I thought back to like when I was a kid and we did a lot of vacations in Maine and other New England.
It's the vacation
towns.
State.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
That should go on a quarter, too.
And this is the first part of a series, right?
It's the first part of a series. Basically, I kind of thought like I wanted to experiment in doing something that was not like that was more accessible, because Side Scrollers, which was the first one I did, was definitely more towards like teens to adults, kind of dirty, has a few swears and stuff. It's not like X-rated or anything, but it's definitely, you know, certain, like, you know, little kids can really read it. So I just kind of thought I'd like to broaden my base a little bit, and I thought the short story would be a kind of a good idea. So I kind of developed into just a scenario, and then I thought of a bunch of fun, you know, different, like, the scenario basically is two young brothers are on a vacation for the whole summer to like kind of a small out-of-the-way port town in the middle of nowhere, Maine, and it's basically about different adventures that they get into involving like sea monsters and kind of like different ghost stories. And just if you've ever like spent any time in like little New England towns, there's a ton of these like little random like folklore that is in a lot of little small, you know, small towns in that area. So it's kind of was a starting point. I just thought of a bunch of fun scenarios, and that's where it kind of became a series idea.
What type of coin are you going to base your next story on?
Something with a giant eagle.
Nice.
Awesome. All right, let's turn it over to you guys for a little bit. How'd you guys get into comics, and how'd you end up writing Night Owls?
We kind of lucked into it.
Yeah, we entered a contest and won.
Was it that commercial that was running where you had to like draw something and then
draw Timmy the turtle with the hat, send him in. Actually, if you send that in, you get this really cool booklet that is very actually instructive. I saw online that Zuda Comics was going to launch, and I was like, oh, web comics. Hmm. Zuda is DC Comics' new online web comic page. Yeah, so I had been trying to figure out like what I wanted to do with comics, and for some reason, web comics just had not even occurred to me. Yeah, I like, never been trying to figure this out forever. Very few things actually enter my brain, so I'm not surprised. Yeah. But I saw this, I was like, web comics. So I had these characters that I invented, and I was like, you know, maybe I'll spin this off into a webcomic and see how it goes. So I did, and I made a webcomic, and then I heard they were having a launch party, so I went to that with my comic. Wait, you're getting ahead of yourself, am I?
where are you coming?
You're along for the ride.
Yeah. I am along. Well, here's what happened. Oh, sorry. Bob wanted to submit the Zuda comic, and I was all for it. I was like, yeah, you should totally, you know, make this comic, submit it, and what's the worst that could happen? So he's like, okay, I need 8 screens. He gets 7 screens in and goes, fuck, what do I do now? I didn't actually say that.
Oh, you can swear.
I can. Yeah, but I
not around here.
How'd you guys meet, by the way?
What? We're twins.
How did we meet?
He's in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
I heard there was a lot of scribbling on the womb wall.
Yeah, that was me.
Is that gross?
He kicked me out. Yeah, he wanted me to go first. Yeah, let's just make sure it was safe. One day the tank emptied, and I was like, what's
tank?
That nice? That is the truth. true story, okay? My mother didn't know that we were. She was having twins. Yeah, they didn't do an ultrasound. They said the extra heartbeat was an echo. And
we're doctors.
Where are you from?
Was it an old mountain man?
It looked like this guy. Anyway, he, yeah, and then Bob came out the wrong way because they were like, look at that smile. So, I was breached, and my ear was bleeding. His ear was bleeding.
So they rushed me off.
They rushed me off, and Mom was alone in the room.
When I asked you guys, I do want to
hear your whole story. You know,
yeah.
Want to
no,
start
fine.
At the beginning.
Yeah, start at the beginning. Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, that's where I expected Matt to start.
Skipped all the interesting stuff. What part of you was bleeding when you were?
He almost fell on the floor.
Yeah, I had the bungee cord though, so I was safe.
Well, then one of you had the bungee cord.
Well, never mind.
So then you were working on comics.
All right. Flash forward with our
funny story.
So Pete wrote my eighth comic for me. Yeah. And then while he was drawing the eighth comic, I wrote like the next.
He wrote the next story too.
Yeah. So I bring my comic to the launch party, and I get it reviewed, and I think Richard Bruning was the guy who looked at it, and he gave me some very encouraging comments. So I went home, and I was like, I think we're going to get in a competition. I got some very encouraging comments.
That's what he said?
Yeah. And then I got an email that said that we weren't going to be in the competition because we already won.
Ah, so instant winners.
We were instant winners.
How does that work?
Well, the way that works is we don't have to call our friends and family and tell them to vote for us because we already won.
Yeah.
They liked our comics so much that they just gave us the contract. They
I feel like I'm being tricked into something. I feel like I'm going to buy a weird juice from you. Dr. Ziff's Phantasmal Brain.
Apple cola. It's like a blue apple cola.
Yeah.
I'm in. Sign me up.
It's for packets.
Well, something I think that's interesting about all three of your work, Saltwater Taffy and the Night Owls, is that you guys are kind of dealing with old timey stuff a little bit. Now, what's the appeal of that?
The appeal of old timey stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead. Well, shortly after our birth, we were,
Wait, hold on one second. You need to plug the S video cord back into the computer.
That's
what we're all pains. Keep talking.
So you guys were born.
We're interesting.
So now we're small. And
we're getting larger.
Every day, drinking milk and eating vegetables, and we would only watch cartoons.
I like cartoons a lot.
And one day, there were no cartoons.
Yeah, because this was in the land before VCRs. The land of...
We're in that land right now.
Is it the time machine game?
Well, anyway, there were no cartoons, and what are young lads like us to do?
Yeah, we got it.
What?
No problem. We can run this show without...
Alright. Point of story is...
Order some beer.
Shut up.
Point of story is, our mother came in the room, saw that we were despondent over not having cartoons, and put on Laurel and Hardy, which had said, it's just like cartoons, except they're not.
That's a perfect description.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. We love the Laurel and Hardy.
It was the episode where they built a boat.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
so good.
Yeah.
It's great. So we were lifelong Laurel and Hardy fans from that point on. And from Laurel and Hardy, we branched off into the Marx Brothers and then Charlie Chaplin. We find out there's Keaton and Harold Lloyd and there's W.C. Fields.
Actually, I was watching a Harold Lloyd movie when I came up with the idea for the Night Owl. So I was watching Speedy, and it's set in New York in the 1920s, and he's a taxi driver. And I was watching this while I'm trying to think of comic ideas, and I'm like, I should set my comic there. So that's what
in the movie.
In that world, the 1920s New York.
So what happened?
Huh?
What?
I don't know. I've been thinking about a musical song, but I'm working on my iPod.
Sweet. Yeah, I actually liked that stuff too when I was a kid, and I also just only liked cartoons up to a certain point, but then I used to watch stuff like the Marx Brothers also, and the Bob Hope Road movies. Bing Crosby wrote a movie that loved those, and probably if anyone has read any previews of Saltwater Taffy, the two main characters are named Jack and Benny, And that is a little bit based off of Jack Benny.
A little based.
It was kind of like, I didn't do it totally, it wasn't the first thing I thought of. I knew I wanted to name the younger brother Benny. It just seemed appropriate for the kind of character. And then I'm like, oh, what would be a good name for the brother? I don't know. And I'm like, oh, Jack. Sure. I kind of write, and I'm an artist first and a writer second, and that, it may be like really obvious to some people because I'm a better artist than I am a writer, but a lot of my stories are very visual, and they come from visual cues, and this one in particular, I really like stuff like old antique maps and old antique prints. And I don't really collect them, but I buy like a random like old prints on eBay and stuff, and like old whaling prints, and I just kind of like the visual of, like, you know, part of this is growing up in New England, which is the oldest part of the country, is that I've seen a lot of stuff like that.
Cool, you've been around.
And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of old architecture in New England. There's a lot of old, you know, when you see old textbook. Images of old New England, there are all these really beautiful etchings and like Harper's prints and stuff like that. So that was definitely kind of a visual cue. I wanted to infuse that a little bit, but still it's cartoony, it's still for kids, so I kind of try to combine the two of that a little bit. Which is part of what made my decision to make it mostly just black and white with the toning, even though there's a few toning in there, but I kind of, that influenced the decision.
And Saltwater Taffy is at bookstores everywhere tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. It's good timing. Really good timing. You go check it out tomorrow.
Yeah. Night Owls, the newest piece, is up tonight, actually.
Yep.
And there's going to be another one on Thursday.
Yep. Every Tuesday and Thursday, one new screen. Until we get five.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool. And on that note, it's time for our first section, which we like to call the stack.
It's like a silent movie, like we were talking about. It's a shout out to you.
If you guys could just scat or whatever when there's
no problem.
Music, that would be great.
All right, I'm waiting for that invitation for you.
First thing we're going to talk about is DCU number 0. This is a 2-bits issue for you guys based on a bunch of trailers of things coming up in the DC Universe. What'd you guys think? Was it worth the 2 quarters?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So
what I was thinking. I just really feel that DC owes us, and I appreciate them trying to make a cheap, comic book because Countdown blew ass. So it's like they owe us a cheap comic, but at the same time, it's just like I didn't appreciate. It was just like previews, and it was like, meh, it was not worth it.
You think that's the reason they priced it at 50 cents? They're like, guys, we're sorry. Save your $2.
I hope so. If they know what they're doing, that's why.
This was kind of a mixed bag. It's a preview issue, pretty much. They're like 3 pages per their next big projects coming out. The ones I'm excited about were great. Legion of Three Worlds. The Green Lantern stuff's going to be awesome, I think. But the other stuff, I don't know. I don't know if you guys have read it, and maybe we'll spoil a little bit here. In the end, there's all this Flash shit. And I'm sick of Flash.
You like Flash.
I like the character, but it's like, oh, everyone's so into it. He runs fast, great. Do we need 9 of them? I don't know. We need, like, why is everyone so in love with Barry Allen? We just got Wally West back. So I don't know what the big deal is.
I don't know. Just to make it absolutely clear, there's a little bit of a hint. They don't come right out and say it, but they might as well. That Barry Allen, a character who died in the original Crisis on Infinite Earths, is back for the first time in 25, 26 years? I don't even remember. Some of you guys probably remember. But there's the thing that's tough about it for a lot of fans is that Barry Allen is supposed to be one of those untouchable characters in a certain way, kind of like Uncle Ben is for Spider-Man, that you're not supposed to bring back.
Like Bucky or Jason Todd.
Exactly.
That's the same right there.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I agree with you, who cares at all? Basically because Barry Allen is a totally boring character.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
Woo!
There it is.
Nice. He said no.
You
said it.
No?
Barry Allen's that point. He's awesome.
What's awesome about Barry then?
Well,
can't say he runs fast.
What?
Oh, can't say he runs fast.
He's awesome because, you know, he's a policeman and a scientist, and he also is a...
Wow.
On the other hand, it's 50 cents and it's a comic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, totally. It is what it is, I feel like, in a certain way. That,
very true, man.
That was deep.
Thank you. Well, as opposed to Countdown to Infinite Crisis, which was 3 or 4 years ago or whatever it was, the last time that DC has done a cheap preview issue like this, it was much more of a complete story.
Yeah.
This is, the reason I say it is what it is it's not trying to be anything more than like, here's 3 pages of something coming up,
no,
then here's a splash page.
Of that, there was a bunch of preview pages of stuff that...
Yeah, I it was a little more of this following the story of Blue Beetle.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was after that, and it like previewed the Martian Manhunter and then previewed Old Man.
Yeah, exactly. Why not just make it for free and put on Free Comic Day?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Instead of just making it 50 cents.
Yeah. Let's go get him.
Yeah.
Let's go.
DC.
DC also doesn't like for Free Comic Day. They just give you old ones. It's a little bit upsetting.
Yeah.
I don't think Free Comic Day is for the entrenched fan. Like,
that's what I'm saying. They're for the new guys.
Exactly.
They're like, for people, Free Comics to get you into it. If you look at DC Universe number 0, and you're not going to make it happen.
Yeah, it's even 50 cents, I don't think I'd want to pay for previews. I mean,
it's incomprehensible to people who don't read comics.
True. And I will say, a lot of it is, like, I feel like they lost a lot of readership during Countdown. And this is like, all right, here's what's happening now, so that you don't have to have read all that.
Right, exactly.
And it's good, I think, for guys like Pete here, who are, they're excited.
Most
only
stores,
grow.
This is something that's going to be free anyway, sitting in a stack as you leave in like 2 weeks anyway. So wait until then. All right, let's move on and talk about New Avengers number 40, continuing the Secret Invasion storyline, where Skrulls, shape-changing aliens, are taking over the Marvel Universe.
We should keep explaining that.
Well, we should.
I agree with something about.
Yeah,
these
people.
Who?
His
Iron Man
face has. Very unhappy.
But yeah, I felt like this was a really good issue. Gives us a little Skrull backstory. Humanizes them a little bit, if you will.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, you never really get to hear their side. Well, you do, but I mean, I think this does a good job.
Are you on the Skrull side,
huh? I'm thinking about it.
Really?
I got the chips. You know, they seem like I have a nice planet.
You should,
I'm
you should try to change shape.
Yeah.
I think
Gap
one deer hair went into your face.
It's insane.
Are you guys
right
following
now.
The Skrull stuff at all? Do you care?
Sure, I care.
Yeah.
I'm not following.
Nice.
No. If it's good, I might care. I don't know.
You know, what Bendis is doing with this, I think, is taking New Avengers, telling a story that doesn't have to do with the Avengers, giving the backstory about what's going on with the Skrulls. Mighty Avengers, he's not doing a story about the Avengers. Instead, he's just telling a story about Nick Fury and what's going on with him.
It's a lot of setup.
Yeah, it's a lot of setup. It's a lot of backstory for what I feel like is honestly not a whole lot of story.
Wow.
That's my biggest problem with it, is that I...
Wait,
well, you
the issues. The issues are well done. I will say that. I think the writing is solid. The art is solid. I enjoy what's going on with them. There's not a lot of story in every issue. There's not a lot of actual.
So you feel like Skrulls can just land and take over, and we don't need to know why or who's doing what?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
Sarcasm. I like it. See, I like just labeling. I like that it goes back and fleshes out all this stuff from all the history that maybe we aren't as familiar with because we don't have every issue in our basement.
What does that mean?
I know, I have every issue in my basement. We're talking about your average Joe.
You have a basement?
All right.
All right, let's move on. Talk about another thing that is very much based in history, which is Action Comics 864.
Woo!
Finally bringing together the previous 863 issues. It's all been built into this. What did you guys think?
Wow.
I thought it was very funny how, like, Batman walked in on Superman and his buddy there chugging sodas.
Yeah.
Like they had soda cans all around them, and Batman.
There's
just
a scene
in.
Where so Superman just got back in the future with the Legion. They're setting up this Legion of three.
So they're hanging out, recapping, and chugging soda.
Soda, yeah. There are like nine of them there. And Batman's like, "What are you guys doing?" Like, don't worry, we're just friends hanging out.
Yeah, fun times over, Batman.
Yeah,
are you guys having a crazy soda party?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Batman loves soda. Grant, that's what Grant Morrison's entire run has been built.
Yes. It was originally called RC Cola, but it's RIP.
Guys, that's
what it's called. This is more Legion stuff, and I can get it less.
Why? Like the Legion. You need to like the Legion. Your boy Jeff Johns is writing it. You're going to read it. Get on board now. Don't. I will force.
Guys, there's a lot of tension here.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
We had a long day in the park on Saturday.
A long, terrible day.
I'm sunburned in places that you can't see.
I ate too many hot dogs.
Why?
Why? That means what it means.
Not for my end. Not for my end.
Not for your end.
We could have just let it go.
Keep
we
going.
Just move on.
Once you start oiling. This was... This is good, though. I like where it's
Don't
going.
Don't push it, okay?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Stop. For the love of God, stop.
We can do this all night.
I don't like Batman with the pointy shoulder pads. I'm just gonna.
Yeah, they always do that. Really? I think it keeps his.
Look at what you're wearing.
Yeah. Cool. It keeps him from tripping over the cape, I think.
Anyway, Justin really likes it. I think it's totally fine. If you're into the Legion, pick it up.
Time Trapper. Who's that guy?
All right. The Order number 10. This is the last issue.
Yeah, finally.
Jesus, Pete. This series has been fantastic across the board. I highly recommend picking up the trades of it. Really well done. Really original superhero series. Nope. This ending is a little disappointing.
Yeah, he said it.
Well, he was forced to end. I mean, he had other stuff going on.
That's why it's disappointing for me. Is it's very much a last issue before it's meant to be a last issue.
That's an advertisement.
It's unrelated.
Really good ending.
Well, you never saw the parrot cutter.
Yeah.
What a villain.
It's basically set up for the Invincible Iron Man series that's coming out tomorrow, which is totally fine. Matt Fraction is a good writer. It's just not worried, but I don't think we're ever going to see any of these characters ever again. Aww. I don't think. What didn't you like about this particular?
Okay.
Other than the fact that there were a lot of words.
Yeah, too many words.
No, that's not what I didn't like.
How many words do you read in a
day? Screw both of you, you freaking hot dog fruitcakes. Anyways, I felt like...
You've seen our shirts?
High five that.
That was the gayest high five ever.
Yes, all right. It was.
So, this was ridiculous. They go in, they're like, all right, guys, we got to stop this mob of angry people. What do? Let's fly right into the middle of it. So they fly into the middle of it. They get attacked. They're like, this is a bad idea. Let's get out of here. They fly
away.
They're
not whining quite as much as that.
Well, you asked me my opinion. I'm giving it. So then they fly out of it. They fly out of it and go to the glowing tower, which they should have gone to in the first place. And then they're like, oh, this is where all the action is happening. Then they send the girl who's obviously going to die, and then she dies, and then they got to snap her neck. And hey, good ending.
You know what? I agree with Pete now. That convinced me. That little role play convinced me.
It is unfortunate. Through all of that, you did point out some plot points that are kind of bad. But again, I think it really comes from just rushing out this last issue, which is very disappointing. Again, as I said, really highly recommend picking up the first two trades of this once they're all out.
Indeed.
Definitely. Immortal Iron Fist, number 14?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? You guys have been really high on the series, and I think you
have
turned
me
over to your side.
Yeah, you like it now?
Yeah.
Nice.
I like it now, just in time for the team to leave the title.
Yeah, real bummer that this is their last issue, and now the guy that does Cable, whose name is hard to pronounce, is taking over.
Dwayne Spazio.
Yeah. What if he's listening? Or here.
I don't think so.
No, he's busy writing Cable.
Ah, good. Yeah, good. We need that. But this has been a great arc, kind of an extended issue for the wrap up. Sets up, it leaves Iron Fist in a new place. I don't know.
I liked how this was. I've been back and forth in the series. I've really been enjoying it. I felt like it's well done, but some of the issues I haven't felt were as strong as others. But I feel like it's hilarious how, like, he finally confronts the other Iron Fist. Like, you ruined my life. He's like, whatever, man. I've just been sitting here smoking this hookah the whole time. I really don't have time for you. He's like, what the?
It's a lesson about drugs. Think about it. Here's what.
Whoa! Puberty. Congratulations, Alex.
Thanks. I can't believe you guys have finally made me mad. I thought it would have happened on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Way peaked. More than enough.
We peaked.
Huh? Nothing. What I love about this book is that it feels like a big budget action movie, fun, spectacular, really enjoyable. Not at all what I expected from the title. It's the art is very unique, I think, as well, yeah. Which I really appreciate.
It's like Peter Snejberg, who used to do Starman.
Yeah,
which is
very much. Anyway, definitely recommend picking that up.
Name drop.
Let's move on and talk about an issue that Pete picked up, which was I Was Kidnapped by Lesbian Pirates from Outer Space, number one.
Okay. All right. Now, to defend... Thank you. To defend myself, I feel... I'm taking credit for that applause, which I shouldn't. It's a dollar. And with a title like that, how can you not buy it?
Did you like it?
Well, no.
Why not? Did you not like the lesbian part, the pirates part, or the outer space part?
I just felt...
Or the kidnapping part.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like there was a great chance for them to be... funny and to kind of make fun of the whole genre, but it
didn't. The genre?
Yeah, the lesbian pirate genre, because they need to be made fun of.
Yeah, it's a gender.
They take themselves way too seriously. You know, it's really about time they got their fair due.
I read this.
It was.
You read it?
It was a webcomic.
Yes.
It's been a webcomic for a very long time, and it's just finishing up its run with its sixth or seventh issue. I kind of agree with you guys, though. I think I didn't hate it. I thought it was kind of silly and enjoyable. It's very fluffy. But I don't think it took things far enough.
Yeah, you wanted more.
Well, it's sort of a half-hearted parody in a certain way. Very over-the-top pulp stuff. But it doesn't really push it at all. It's relatively clean for something that is called Lesbian Pirates from Outer Space. And I'm not saying that I want to see a
hardcore. No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I want to see hardcore lesbian sex in it, but I do want to see them push it a little bit.
But if you did want to see that, that's the sort of title that would make you pick this book up.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying it, but I'm suggesting it.
Nice.
Anyway, would you say pick it up?
No. Nope.
Especially because it's free on the web. all right, let's move on and talk about Ultimate Human number 4, conveniently timed for the Iron Man movie and the Hulk movie. What do you know? Ultimate Iron Man and the Ultimate Hulk go up against each other.
You think they coordinated that?
No, total coincidence. Pete, what did you think?
This was fantastic. Unfortunately, this was the first one I picked up, so I'm going to have to go back and pick up the other ones because I loved it so much. I just felt like they did a really good job of getting the Hulk's voice in this.
Yeah, they really nailed it.
Yeah.
It's I agree with you. When he was like, it just sounded like the Hulk.
Right. Perfect.
Sometimes it's
really
like,
right amount of R's and R's. You know what I mean? Because sometimes they overdo it or they don't give it enough.
Yeah, they're like Hulk squish, Hulk smush. This one really.
The name finally lives up to it, the Ultimate. So it was. I felt like it was. It was fantastic.
I'm just going to say this. If you go back and read them, you're going to be sorely disappointed, Pete, because the first three issues were a lot of really interesting talking.
Yeah.
Huh.
And this one's kind of a boring fight.
Well,
boring fight?
You got it. At one point Iron Man's like, he doesn't have his armor, and he picks up like a walkie-talkie, and he's like...
Why do you have a problem with this so much? The fact
because
that he called for his
armor. It's like,
why is that so bad?
Straight out of an episode of DuckTales. I would watch DuckTales if I'm a Gizmo Duck. Like, I don't need to see Iron Man playing his cards. He should be wearing the armor or figure out a way with like a rope. That's what he had on hand, a rope and a chair.
I don't think Iron Man would
stand a chance personally, because we always see Hulk tearing up tanks with little or no effort, and Iron Man's suit is basically just a tank suit. I mean,
and he didn't even have the suit on for half the fight.
Yeah,
he had a call for it.
Well, good for him, I said. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not good.
Anyway, this particular issue is not enough for, you know, I wasn't crazy about it, but the series as a whole was actually pretty well done and interesting. I just wish it hadn't turned out so generically, is my problem.
Indeed.
Speaking of something...
Pick it up, it's awesome.
Are you sneak interviewer at the end?
Nice.
Bet.
Let's move on.
Where were we? What's happening?
X-Men Legacy, number 210. Justin, you're crazy, over the moon about this.
Yeah, very old-timey. I do like this a lot because it's telling X-Men stories in a different way, using a lot of the older continuity. Professor X is out on his own, he's walking again. Congratulations. He's got his powers back, and he's fighting people. And I like it.
No, Professor Xavier is not Professor Xavier unless he's in a wheelchair.
Why?
Because that's my Xavier. I feel uncomfortable when he's walking.
Why?
I'm like, that's weird. You shouldn't be walking.
That's terrible. Yeah, that's horrible.
Well, no, not that I don't think he deserves the right to walk, but like...
You tip over a lot of wheelchairs. So it's only fair that I can point that out.
No,
it does, to be fair, go around and break people's legs. I'm just like, I want to see you Professor X it out.
Yeah, I know. So
watch out, you guys.
Yeah, I have a question. First of all, why is Ra's al Ghul on the cover? And who is this guy, and why does he have such an enormous package?
That's his power.
Yeah, his power. Is his power.
That's
Bruce special delivery for you.
What'd you think, Alex?
What did I think? I'm fine with the series. I think it's well written. I don't really understand where it's going necessarily.
That's good though, isn't it?
No. In terms of it seems meandering, and also I've never really. Every couple of years they do a series where it's. Hey, it's Professor X and or Magneto investigating the past and visiting old X-Men.
They have
past.
A very shaded past.
Yeah, but they do that literally like every 3 or 4 years. There's a new series and it goes for like 10 issues and then it gets canceled because it's boring.
Well, now he's walking to different places.
Well, that's new. Oh, no, wait, that isn't new.
No, it isn't.
Because Professor Xavier is like, now I can walk. Oh, I got shot in the head again, now I can't walk. Oh, now I can walk again, now I can't walk. And again, that's every 3 or 4 years. It's just like...
He's a mover and a shaker. Stuff like that happens when you're out there. Think of all the bullets flying by him.
You're right, I gotta get out there for
him. Yeah. Get out there and you too can be confined to a wheelchair.
Wow. And on that note, we're going to say goodbye to the staff. That's what we're going to do, so goodbye to the staff. It's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because it's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to call out Replacement Original Booth Band.
Yeah! That's
so funny.
All right, here's some...
Your costume doesn't quite live up.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm bald now.
Yeah, I know. Bald is evil.
He's Lex. He's Lex.
Yeah, I can walk. So anyway.
The show's going very well. So,
so here's some 3 questions I got chosen. What's the best way to sell my comic collection? Not mine, personally, but...
Nice. Thank you for saying that.
No problem.
Well, let's start off with this, guys, actually. Do you have a comic collection, and if so, how big is it?
I have a comics collection. It's pretty big. I have it all alphabetized and numberized.
Oh, wow.
And it's all on my shelf in my office. Boxes and boxes.
Up. Mine's on my shelf and on my floor and under my dresser and under my bed.
I should mention that they're not all alphabetized and numberized. There's stacks of random ones lying about, too, that my bunny eats.
Your
bunny? Yeah, a rabbit.
Buddy.
I don't have a comic eating pal.
I was going to say, I thought you just met Pete tonight.
Yeah.
I've got an old comic collection from when I was a kid, but it hasn't grown in a while. But I have a graphic novel collection. I have a lot of graphic novels.
Very mature of you.
What's some of your oldest stuff you've collected?
What?
What's some of the older stuff that you first started collecting?
Well, probably when I first started getting into superhero stuff, I was just a slightly older little kid, and it would be like Spider-Man from around the McFarlane time, and Eric Larson time. And then I kind of steadily went up through the Image area, and then I dropped. And then I actually got into anime and stuff at that time around the high school in the 90s for me. And then I got back into comics in college, and then I kind of collected a few issues, and I just was like, I don't really care. I don't want to read a single issues anymore. I wanted, well, that's what got me into the graphic novels, okay. And that's what my graphic novel collection is. I'd rather read the entire story and just a floppy issue. I got into a little bit of my politics, my political thinking of comics right now, but
I agree.
Wow.
Pete and I have thought about this often.
Yeah.
Cool. If you were going to sell your comic collection, how would you sell it? What would you do? Yeah. What would you save?
Oh, what would I save?
Yeah, I mean, would you just be like, yeah, psh, there it goes.
I'd keep the, you know, I got like, my, when I was another when I was a kid, my dad, a friend of my dad's gave me a bunch of like old comics. Like, I have an Amazing Spider-Man number 22, like an old like Flash, I forget which one, but like an old like Silver Age Flash comic, and a couple like ones peppered here and there, and I don't know, I'd probably could get some good money for them, so maybe I would sell them.
I would say there's a couple of choices.
Probably not, though, because
comic book stores have to give you valid prices. So if you took it to like a comic book store, they can't look through your comics and then try to hose you on that. There's like a law.
They certainly can.
Well, they can if they want to, but you could take them to court over it, because if they see your collection and know your worth, that they have to give you a legitimate price for it.
Court.
Well, yeah, you get ripped off.
Like, if they give you 50 cents for an issue of Cable and they were supposed to give you a dollar, you sue their ass.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say a comic book store is a choice. eBay is obviously a choice. If you have anything worthwhile that might be worth it to get it sealed and graded, and then you can get that much more money over it.
Which you do. How big is your comic collection?
Probably, it was like 3,000, now I'd say it's like 5,000.
Of all of us, Pete spends like twice as much in the comics.
Twice? Probably like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
We do a comic book talk show.
Yeah, but you buy lesbian pirates, monkeys from space, under the water.
That's a great title.
Yeah, I would say the title's not great. Would it ever get to a point where you would have to sell something? Or are you just going to keep renting apartments and filming?
I don't think I...
You'll never sell.
I might eventually, someday.
You heard it here first, folks. Go up to Pete after the show, make an offer, he's going to sell his comic book.
He can't refuse or he'll take you to fucking court.
Let's go to the next question.
What can you all bring to comics that hasn't been seen before?
Ooh.
I think that's for us.
A good fan.
Our youthful verb. The verb, I don't know. What would you say you guys bring to comics that hasn't been seen before?
Has there been a twin team yet?
We bring twin comics.
Yeah.
Twins made by genuine 100% twins.
Wow. Not those fake twins.
Like, yeah. Like Pete and I.
Pete and I, man.
It's like looking at a mess.
What I want to bring to comics that hasn't
don't
been
say twins, by the way, because they're
I want to bring humor comics back. You know, they're called comics, and they haven't been funny for years. And like the closest thing to a funny comic has been like, I don't know, Deadpool or something, where it's got some really funny parts, but then it's also still like an action crazy, you know, whatever. And I want like some really just zany, silly comics, and that's kind of what I like to do. You know, my last comic was pretty much a straight up comedy. This one's kind of an adventure comedy, so.
I want to change my answer to his answer.
Yeah. Oh, bad for you.
Now you're stuck with twins. one last question.
All right, and what other web comics, if any, do you read?
Oh, well, I like some of the other web comics that are on Zuda. I like High Moon a lot.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Paiu.
Right? High Moon.
I mean, everyone.
Woo! You!
Woo! Guys in the audience.
Yeah. We want to talk beyond Zuda, though. I mean, we love to plug Zuda, but there's a
and we're
world
going
of continue
to plug
Zuda on the web, and they're all well. No, there's you can go to some places that have really good ones.
I like Activate. Activate's a good place to find comics.
Yeah,
yeah,
they
got a lot of good stuff up there.
Yeah.
And there's a site called Amalgamated Artists that has a lot of comics that were on Zuda but now aren't, and you can go there and they're updating them.
Because Zuda is a competition site, and each month they put up 10 web comics, and you can go to the site and vote for the comic you like best, and at the end of the month, one of them continues, and the other 9 don't win.
Then they must be
destroyed. What the creators then have the option of bringing their site elsewhere, and a lot of them have brought them over to Amalgamated, and a few have gone over to Activate. So.
Yeah.
Matt, do you read any web comics?
Or? Not as much as I should. I do, like, sure. I did check out a few things on Activate, like Fishtown is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I read Smile by Raina Telgemeier. I don't remember what website that's on right now, though.
Webcomics Nation.
Webcomics Nation, yeah. So that's really good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. All right, that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah!
It is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Hey, the music! Yeah.
And, of course, since this is the Week in Geek, the big story on the next slide was Iron Man!
Woo.
Yeah!
Next slide.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Is that what it looks like?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the print I saw was very faded, so I just...
So...
Let's start off, actually, I think, before we get into it, Justin, what's your review of Iron Man?
Yeah, what
Man,
you think?
It was some... I haven't seen it yet.
You How did you not see it?
Don't punch me.
That's unbelievable.
Don't punch me, Pete, no. Don't punch me.
How dare you not see it?
I was at the Skywalker Ranch working on Incredible Hulk with some sound editing. And it's downtown. I tried to see it.
Was there movie theaters in this town?
No.
Yeah.
No, I was in Greenland.
Wow.
That's really hard. That's
weird. I would have thought it was green.
That's what the Vikings did. It tricked you. Iceland's green.
Every single time it's Vikings, they get me.
I know. Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, I didn't. That's a football team. I didn't see the movie. I'm going to go see it. Don't hate me. You guys already hate me. Don't hate me.
Well, okay, I will just put this out there. I think it was the best comic book movie of all time. And here's specifically what I mean by that, because there are movies that I like better. I think, to me, it felt like... I want to clarify this, and I know Pete disagrees with me a little bit. I think it felt like the experience of reading a Marvel comic book on screen. That means there's some not-so-good stuff, but there's also some really good stuff. There's universe stuff. It feels like it's... in the real world while still being slightly off, which is what the Marvel Universe to me feels like, and that's what I really enjoyed about it a lot. It felt like something, as opposed to Spider-Man 2, which I think is incredible and probably better as a movie, it's better as a movie, still feels like it's a Spider-Man movie. It doesn't feel like, oh, this is the Spider-Man comic book come to life. Iron Man felt like the Iron Man comic book come to life, down to Robert Downey Jr. looking exactly like Tony Stark, which I thought was great.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah.
The problem with... I understand what you're saying, but the problem with your statement is saying, like, best comic book movie, to me, immediately I think of 300, because they basically just took that and put it right on the screen, which to me is the best comic book movie, because that is exactly the comic. They didn't change... almost anything.
So. Well, the operative word there is movie, because I feel like 300 to me, which again I also liked, was literally just, and here's a panel from the comic book, here's a panel from the comic
book. Right.
It was like
still
a live.
It's still a movie. I paid money and I saw it.
Version of a comic book. This was a movie version of a comic book.
Wow. Splitting hairs.
That's really.
I can observe unbiased now. That's why I'm
here. Forget comic books.
Yeah.
What about
a
superhero movie?
Yeah, that's good.
Because we all know.
What'd you guys think?
Popeye.
I loved it. That's really, And like for a lot of the other ones, like Spider-Man, obviously I did follow. I know enough about Spider-Man and I read the book, and like same thing with Batman and Superman. But like this, I really never read a single Iron Man comic.
Yeah, you don't even read them. You
but yeah, I not anymore. Did. But I used to. <Yeah. laughs> I bring a lot to the table here.
Yeah.
But I absolutely loved it, and it mainly because there was not a part in it that took me out of the movie at all. There wasn't like a that was really weird, that must be a comic book thing, or that must be like a reference to, I mean, obviously I'm nerdy enough that I was able to catch certain net references that like, oh yeah, that's a S.H.I.E.L.D. that reference,
yeah,
or
yeah,
like, you know, so but like as a movie, like it really it sort of went the way that the Batman Begins was trying to approach everything from a very realistic way. Like, why does he dress up like a bat? Like, here's the most realistic way we can explain that. It was sort of like that, but it wasn't so, like, deliberate feeling. And I just thought there's not a single part of it took me out of the movie at all. I was just in there for the ride, and I loved it. And Robbie Downey Jr. did just such an amazing job.
Yes.
Like, it was just, it was like, completely entertaining the entire time. It was just really fun. So, I enjoyed it.
I liked it at the end when Robert Downey Jr. lost a leg and put like a cyborg leg on.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great. Yeah, you know what? I really don't think they should have killed off Gwyneth Paltrow's character.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Yeah. What's happening here?
The second little part of this news, of course, is that because of Iron Man's success, it made over almost $200 million over the weekend, including international box office.
And that's despite Grant.
Not Greenland.
That's right, they were worried about it.
Two things are going on right now. Yeah. And I can't concentrate on either of them, so I'm just going to push it over to you guys. Marvel has announced a bunch of other films that are coming out of that. Of course, Iron Man 2 is coming out in 2 years. This is also going to be followed by Thor coming out about a month and a half after that. Then the next summer, we're going to get in May, the first Avenger, Captain America, is the name of that movie.
Wow.
Followed 1 month later, on July 4th, by The Avengers.
Wow, woo! That's crazy.
That
yeah.
is crazy.
Who wants to see a Thor movie?
Woo!
Come on!
Thor, everybody.
Yeah.
I think he's like the Thor from the Incredible Hulk TV show.
Yeah.
I prefer the Thor from Adventures in Davis.
There you go.
I mean, To get back to the movie a little bit, I feel like the only part that took me out.
Iron Man?
Yeah.
Okay, kind of changed.
Yeah, I know, but I just, you know, I felt like I wanted to share a little bit. Is that okay?
Aww.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine. I want to talk about New Avengers.
Okay, just 1 second. Let me finish. I felt like the only part that really took me out was the beginning, where it was like, it was obvious that he wasn't building a missile. I was like, these guys suck as villains. Like, they're watching him. They're like, what does it look like he's building? It's not like no missile I've ever seen.
That's what killed me about the preview.
He's gonna left it.
Where yeah. they were like, okay, build us this missile. We're not going to check on you. But don't you build a suit of armor.
Don't
you build a suit
of
armor.
You haven't seen the movie. You can't say anything. You
I know what
seen
happened.
The movie. I don't want to hear it. That was the only part. But I felt like that might be the great, I thought the Stan Lee cameo was hilarious. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. What did you think about what I said after that?
I'm
really angry.
About the Marvels, do you have any more?
I was just also going to conclude by saying it was also real exciting to be like, when people started to get up and leave, I was like, no, sit down.
Yes.
You will sit down. And then afterwards, they were like, hey, thanks for that tip. And then it was
you
like,
you did that?
Yeah.
You're a dick.
I felt like they should know that there's going to be something afterwards if they didn't, you know? So I felt like, you know. And then it was great because it was like, everybody, to free comic book day. And we all went.
Really?
Wow.
The entire theater? You spent the day with a bunch of...
Yeah, we're all hanging out, you know.
So it was a social experience.
Yeah, it was really...
It's really cool.
It was
really
a fun movie experience.
And what do you think about the upcoming Marvel movies?
I don't have anything to say about that.
I think it's weird because they're obviously setting up all the Avengers. So we have Thor and then Captain America. What if one of their movies tanks? Won't it be weird for the Avengers?
Like the Hulk movie, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know because we're almost out of time. So that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right. It is time for our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Beetle Page.
Time to Beetle Page.
Yeah, all right. This is the part where...
Oh,
not yet.
the chase.
Just to interrupt Pete a little bit, get somebody who didn't go to Free Comic Book Day.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Who would like an opportunity to win $25 free? The guy being forced to raise your hand. Why don't you come on down?
All right. Should have forced your hand up.
Nice t-shirt. What's your name?
It's a classic. Terry. Terry.
Terry, audience? Audience, hey, Terry. Audience. Did you go to Free Comic Book Day?
I did. What a thrill.
All right. Did anybody not go?
I didn't.
Go?
I didn't go.
All right. Yeah, we know you. We can't give you stuff, so.
I'm a reject?
Why don't I give him? No, I'm just giving out the comic stuff.
Oh, okay. I feel much better then.
No, Terry, I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay. Well, here's what happened is that I actually got 2 packs of free comics on Comic Book Day. So, since you didn't make it, here is everything you can get from Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, thank you!
Nice. All right.
Thanks for listening.
So, here we go. This could be yours.
Woohoo!
So, today's trivia is on Iron Man. So, how it works is you listen up. The question, then listen to all 3 possible answers, then make your decision. Here we go. Iron Man's first appearance in comic books was in A, The Invincible Iron Man number 1, B, Tales of Suspense number 39, or C, Black Sabbath's Mom's House. Yeah, I kind of had a lisp there, and I ruined the punchline.
I'm going to have to go with B.
B is correct! Woo! 1 for 1, sir. Here we go. Question number 2. Tony Stark was born in A, Coney Island, B, Long Island, or C, Candyland?
These are my choices?
Yeah. So it's either A, Coney Island, B, Long Island. We know it's not C. That's a video.
I'm going to go with Long Island.
Yeah, 2 for 2.
Nice.
Here we go. Last question. When Stark was unable to use his armor, he asked Blank for training in martial arts. Was it A, Iron Fist, B, Captain America, or C, Mr. Miyagi? So it's either A, Iron Fist, or B, Captain America.
I'm going to go with B, Captain America.
3 for 3! $25 free
for
you!
So
enjoy!
All right, thank you, Pete. As we know, of course, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
Yeah!
We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. But let's move this way, start with what you guys are looking forward to. Pete?
There's a ton coming out. I'm going to say Logan and Secret Invasion.
Oh, that's 2.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Young X-Men, I guess, number 2, which I hope is good, because I like the character.
Thanks. Action Comics Annual number 11. This is about a year and a half in coming, and it's finally coming out. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
What do you guys have coming out? Plug your stuff again.
Solar Tappy.
Yeah! It's really good.
Time Machine.
Sorry, no, it does very well.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
And for you guys?
We're going to plug Zuda Comics again. It's zudacomics.com, Z-U-D-A, and everything is free. It's free to read the comics. It's free to register. If you do register, you can vote on any of the comics in the competition. You can give 1 to 5 star ratings on the comics. You can leave comments for the creators, and we do read them every day. Our comic is Night Owls, and what else? That it? Yeah. Oh, and it updates every Tuesday and Thursday. Every Tuesday and Thursday.
All right. Before we go, a couple little plugs for you guys. Next week, we are going to have, coincidentally, a new Zuda artist, Neil Clyde, on the show. He's been on the show before.
Yes, a little.
And he is currently in contesting.
Competition,
that's apparently he was not an instant winner yet. Also, we have Molly Crabapple, who is another online comicist.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you have a stroke?
I know you're talking, but I can't see you out of
this. I'm worried about you.
And also, pulpsecret.com, 3 times a week. You can check us out there where we do a web of a show.
Wow. Wow. A makeup show.
I'm going to go to sleep for a little bit, but before I do, thank you to Matt.